Big time count. What B movie will be the ultimate champion? You might think they're crazy, might think they're diseases. But they watch all the shot to find the best of the beast. It's Stan, Jim, Jack, and Nick who watch till it's finished. But their love for these movies can be diminished. And maybe the film's plot has no rhyme or reason. But that's part of the charm, Owen Brad's of the season. The low budget film that it is most true. They find in the flick that's most boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo. Kung Fu, Electric Boogaloo. Boom, boom, Electric Boogaloo.
They were born under a bad sign. They are Son of Boogaloo. Welcome to Season 6 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, Son of Boogaloo. I am your host, 8th Man Stan Adu, happy to be with you to talk about Flesh Gordon Meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders. And boy oh boy, it was such a great movie, the first one. Let's do the sequel, Son of Boogaloo. I am joined by the usual suspects. I got Jim Cotta.
I've decided that inspired by Flesh Gordon, I'm changing my name to Super Stud.
Wait, I know you.
Wait, man, how does that work?
All right,
just pick. You, people pick what people call you. What you want to be called? That's how that works.
It's for instance, I don't know if you guys know this, but believe it or not. Jack Hall is not my real name.
What is your real name? What do you want to be called, Jack Hall?
Jeffrey Hall.
So is that it? Right. You want to be called Jack Hall?
John Hall. John Hall, yeah.
John F. Hall.
Yes. Right, John F. Hall.
Well, we know Jack's here. All right, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations.
Excellent.
You know, what comes next is usually my recap of this film. And last time I did a really cohesive for me anyway, summary of the film. I don't think that that's going to happen this time around.
Oh, come on. You can totally tell us all about the movie.
I can try.
Please, break it down in detail.
But this movie is funny. I was not prepared for the amount of laughing I did with this film. I have no idea what happened. I was laughing so hard. Flash Gordon and the Cosmic Cheerleaders. What happens in it is Flash Gordon is kidnapped by the Cosmic Cheerleaders because he's the only man in the universe supposedly immune to... I think they call it a flaccid ray or a impotence ray that is plaguing the universe, and all their men have lost their stiffies.
It's a problem.
You don't find out why he's the only man? Like, what is it that gave him that power?
At no time is that explained. So the person responsible for this impotence ray is called the Mysterious Presence, who basically dressed as a Ku Klux Klan member, but is black instead of white. Dale is upset by this because Flash has a date with her tonight, and everyone's hot to get into Flash's pants. So she goes to Dr. Jerkoff, who immediately is able to suss out the goings-on and what's going on, because he... somehow is a concept of the mind fucker helmet they put on Flash as they were leaving the planet. So they junk in their chicken fucking powered rocket.
And when the chickens can't fuck, Flash steps in to get that thing on the ground.
I don't know that I could do this movie. It's too funny.
And travel into space. Along the way, Flash and the gang are captured by turd people, visit a milk bar of indescribable unpleasantness, and oh man, there is so much going on in this movie. There's a graveyard of the Amazon breasts that is also an uncomfortable scene. And they're attacked by a giant penis. Did the giant penis monster have in this one? I wanted to root out some sort of lineage to the penisauruses in the first film. But I was unable to make that connection because this one is definitely more of a homophobic giant stop motion penis creature.
Yes, at one point they're on the planet where all of the hills have nipples on the top because they're supposed to be like the bodies of Amazons, and they're chased by a monster that is got a penis for like out of coming out of the top of its head, but it mostly just his head with legs, and then they're like,
I think those were balls.
Let's go hide in that cave. and you know, you could probably put together where the cave is after that.
Yeah, I think you're forgetting to mention that this monster with the penis sticking out of his head is transitioning.
Yes.
Yeah. which is very, you know, that's really ahead of its time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Because it's handled sensitively.
This is a sensitive motion picture.
Definitely had a sensitive,
subtle motion picture. Oh, man.
I mean, there's just so much that happens in this film. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out that cunnilingus stop motion cunnilingus monster that doesn't have anything to do with the film. He's just there.
Which one?
They have the little monster that they put on when they've got Dale tied up.
Oh, the octopus.
They just, that one. Yeah.
The octopus just a licking machine, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The octopus.
There's no reason for that to even be in the movie, but I love him. And I don't know where the spider monster came on where we have our climax.
Good choice of words.
We may just have to wrap up the show there. Well, the network has said we're done tonight. I just got a note.
I don't think I could go on.
And I mean, the strange thing is, the strength of the film is the one-liners. Mm-hmm. I just invented the breast-enhancing machine to solve all women's problems. And it just...
That was so brilliant.
And it just sort of glances by.
Yeah, he's trying to solve the plague of small breasts through some sort of inflatable device, and then accidentally pops one of the boobs.
Which
yeah,
is
the little like I mean that in keeping with the original, like it is so so loyal to the original in the offhand lines, the goofy sex stuff. That's I mean, this is a little more playful. It is as a phrase we've often used when we talk about some of these movies, a different time, but it's a different time than the original too.
Yeah, less rapey.
It is. I would say half as rapey as the
yeah,
first
but,
one.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I didn't say not non-rapey.
It's not zero.
Well, it went from 3, I think, to 1. So yeah. one third your rapey level. That's like quite an improvement.
Was there a one-liner that's for you guys? Like mine would be do as I say. It's my fucking planet.
Good.
That was stuck.
Yeah. What there was a moment within the movie, and I mean, there's so much within this movie. It's just jam packed with shit. But
literally,
yeah,
literally.
Yeah, yes. I loved every time they showed Earth. They would just quickly bypass through Earth, and you would just see like a home, and in it you would hear a couple talking. And the one line that really stuck out to me was, "You're turned off by my wooden leg."
Yeah, yeah, that was great. But it wasn't. They were at Lover's Point. They were in the car. It was like two teenagers.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fantastic.
And it was just constant. Like every time you would go back, it was something new. So the fact that I have two glass eyes.
No, that's not it. Yeah. It's like, yeah, are you turned off by the fact that I used to be a man? No, that's not it. It's like crazy.
And then the payoff of that is when they get the impotence ray shut off, and this couple in the car can have sex. The line there is, "I hope my new artificial vagina isn't too scratchy."
Yeah. So anytime that occurred, I loved it. It was one of my favorites.
For me, it was apparently I was not the only one to find the original Flesh Gordon's line where the doctor leaves the spaceship, breathes the air, and goes, "Good, there's oxygen on this planet."
Oh, no.
Apparently, I was not the only one to find that hilarious.
That was
because
great.
The doctor does the same thing on this three different times, three different planets, referencing that unbelievable WTF moment in the past. And the fact that they brought it back so brilliantly, I loved it.
So classic. Such good work.
How about the sport they're playing? They call it a cod ball.
Cod ball.
Why not? Why didn't they go with cock ball? It's obviously what they were going for. They were running around with giant erections, swatting the ball around.
It made me realize.
Cod a term I didn't know.
Yeah, it made me think that cod piece probably means something specific that I never thought of. But I didn't do any further research on it. That's all I could think of is the codpiece is the
yeah. I think that makes sense to me.
but I don't know the origin. I don't know
more than
know,
that.
For want of a better term, I don't know the root of that phrase.
More importantly, I was not worried about what the sport was called. Those guys had some serious skill in hitting things with their giant cock.
They did.
Those guys could pass the ball. Bat it in the air, pass it to one another, and hit it through a little hole. They had some serious codball skill. They practiced.
And looking at that match, it's clear why the women on that planet were so upset about the impotence ray.
Yeah,
because there was some stuff happening on that planet. There is one subtle thing that just killed me through the whole movie. So they're trying to defeat the impotence ray because all of the women are super horny, and then the doctor gets worried because his ship's powered by chicken sex, and when the impotence ray comes along, the male chickens don't want to have sex or can't have sex. But the thought that kept occurring to me is, I hope to God no one tells the women on this planet there may be a more than one way to have sex, because they seem to be quite committed to the direction.
That is true. Yep.
And certainly in the first movie, there were folks that had figured that out. went the opposite direction in the previous film.
Well, when talking about lines, another one that I love is because. I don't know how to describe this bar, because somebody described the bar they ended up in. The G-spot,
yes.
Yeah.
So when they go into the cave on the Amazon body planet, they go into the cave, and then most of the rest of the film, they are in parts of a human body. And the first one they come to is the G-spot, and I gave them a lot of credit in my notes here because they found it.
That was the joke that the stand-up comedian says. You don't have to change the name. Guys are having trouble finding it.
Yeah,
that was the quote I was going to go to. So go ahead.
But yes, so we have the G-spot, and then they go on a walk. They have to walk through a very long 5-mile rectum, and that's where they meet.
Damn near killed them.
that walk did. Yeah, exactly. That's where they meet the turd people, which is like a whole separate movie in the middle of this
the
movie.
Turd people, yeah. The turd oh my people. God, the turd people.
They really could have made a third film out of Flesh Gordon meets the turd people.
Oh yeah.
That section is a lot of this movie.
A lot of this movie.
The one turd that seemed to be a kid. Did anyone else find that disturbing?
That was definitely a real kid. And yes.
Yeah. Like,
somebody let their kid be in this movie is bad enough. Somebody let their kid dress up as a turd, including putting brown.
Is it chocolate sauce? Or is it
face? I was amazed.
and it's the question I had come with the turd people, and it's not like there's only one.
We're still there, yeah.
So the turd people reproduce by eating other people and then turding them out. And then you become a turd person. This is they come across someone that they've been looking for, and he's been turned into a turd person. If that's true, why did turd people? Why did the turd women have boobs?
Well, they still got to feed the kids.
But do you? I mean, you can't grow up into a turd person. Like, that doesn't.
No, that would be illogical.
I think you put more thought into this than anyone making this movie.
That might as well be the motto for the show. Honestly. That is our zone.
Yes. The zone of illogic.
And, I mean, the internal logic of this film does say everybody must have breasts.
That's true. I like the phrase in there, though, that they use. They have shit for brains. That's
I love that.
Shit for brains logic. That's what they call it. They want to thank them by eating them.
I did like the carryover where Dr. Jerkoff does grab everyone's breasts. Yeah. Any chance he gets. Ooh, yeah, I got something in my belt. Mm-hmm. Let's grab everyone's personal parts.
He reaches in for Dale like right off the bat, and she's stop it. You don't like it.
It's like, yeah, are you okay? And he reaches for the poop. Yeah.
Like, once you've established that they know, I mean, obviously they know the world, but that they're willing to play in the same world and do the same jokes, then you know you're in for a treat. I mean, the first half hour, I couldn't stop laughing out loud. Like, every time I noticed this, something would happen, and it's just like, oh, that's really funny. Yeah, but I don't even know. I mean, when you're watching it, it gets to the point where there's, like, things are flying at you left and right, and it feels like you have to watch it in like three or four sittings just because it's just like, okay, I need to take a moment.
We've been praising this movie, but let's get to that. And that is the downfall of this movie. 1 hour and 42 minutes.
And it is a long haul compared to what we're used to, for sure.
2 minutes. That's a little rough.
Almost twice as long as the first one.
Yeah.
Did anyone figure out why they were turning Dale into a cat?
Nothing they do with Dale makes a lick of sense, honestly. They capture Dale and then they keep trying to change her personality using a machine they have.
Because she's a bitch. So
she is.
Well, because he wants to turn her into somebody he finds more attractive.
His mother.
Exactly. That's why they imbue her with the presence. Yeah. It's a psychological thing. Deeply thought out. Psychological.
Yeah, but why did they start with a cat first?
I don't know that they started with a cat.
Yeah, the producers decided this movie needed a little more pussy.
Zing.
Man, you should have written for this. You're all over it, Jack.
There was a goodly chunk of the third act trying to figure out what the bad guy's plan was for this thing.
I really had no. I mean, other than
in the least.
well, I mean, okay. So he wanted Flash's, you know, member. He wanted Flash's penis transplanted. I mean, after that, there, so that he could screw the wife of the former leader that he.
Yeah,
really?
Who's his, like, sweetie.
Yeah, who at the same time.
Which will come up in other movies this season.
So, I what was her name? Like Queen Frigid, Queen Frigid or something,
yeah,
like
Queen
that.
Frigid.
Queen Frigid. Yeah. That was awesome. I don't know what I should talk about now and what I should say for WTFs, but there's probably plenty of WTFs.
There's going to be a ton. Yeah. I just there's so much in it. I don't know what to go to next just for that.
I love that like there is a sex scene with it's half a sex scene with Queen Frigid, and the bad guy has set up that she's going to wear his fantasy costume, wear the costume that turns me on so much. And when Flash gets there, she has a paper bag over her head. That's
yeah, the costume. Yeah.
Loved it.
Great show.
Oh, actually, I think I get it. I think I get this one. The problem is that in the first one, that's what would have happened if you removed all the softcore porn elements. In this case, there is no softcore porn. It's just like a teenage comedy nudity for the most part. So when you remove all the sex like that, then you suddenly overload it with even more sight gags, scatological humor, all that stuff. So I think that's what happened. They just were like, well, we can't do the softcore stuff, so we got to put everything in.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, I mean, it really doesn't have nearly the nudity and that type of stuff with the other film. Not even close.
Not even remotely close, no.
Well, it's obviously not, a softcore movie. It's just a nudie movie. That's about it.
Do you have any trivia for this, Jack? Because I was curious.
Unbelievably hard to find trivia on this film.
I was curious how this came about. Like, I would assume that this movie was made because Flesh Gordon became a hit on VHS. Like that's
safe assumption. But yeah, I do not know.
There's one piece for me that I was so happy with that sold me immediately on this movie. Produced by Maurice Smith, who brought us Screwballs and Loose Screws and some of my favorite movies. So
that's awesome.
A Canadian hero. And now here he is bringing us Flesh Gordon and the Cosmic Cheerleaders. It exactly has that similar feel to one of his to like a Loose Screws, just in a sci-fi Flesh Gordon world.
Yeah, no, totally. When you say that, it makes sense. It actually makes sense. It's not much of related to this film that does.
Yeah. You know, it's just this film is like it tries to be everything to any fan of the original, and I'm not quite sure that it succeeds in that, but man oh man, they give it a game try.
I assume it was more than they just watched it and played off of it. It felt like they loved the original, like it, you know, it certainly
if you check the credits, the director was in the original.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So check that after the Frankenstein thing. Should I?
Go ahead. I actually checked that one myself.
Well, the director directed the original, so he...
Didn't he direct? I thought he just acted in the first one.
He is the director of the original Flesh Gordon.
Okay, that makes more sense then.
Yeah, Howard Zeem, who did not direct anything after this.
Wow!
But he's got a checker. He's got an interesting career that basically starts stops at 1981 when porn moved to VHS, and he has this movie after 1981.
See, I was really like, I'm wondering if there's a chance. So this was 16 years after the first one. Does that mean that after like 32 years of this one, we can get a third one?
Instead, look out for the continuing adventures. Yeah. I am waiting.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. And the more that I want it even more after seeing this.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to just keep piling on top, then wow, it could be the most superhumanly boogaloo film ever. Well, what do you think? Do we want to just go to scoring?
Let's go to scoring. I've run through through about pretty much all my notes here. I've switched to looking up to find the other works by Morgan Fox, who played Rubunda Hooters.
if you find those, let me know.
Yeah. She was a Playboy model, and also Miss World Canada in 1988. Wow. Playboy Playmate of the Month, December 1990. So basically, this is the only film she was in. She has a whole bunch of Playboy videos that are around about the same time.
Okay.
It's her only film role, unfortunately. All right. In our search for the ultimate B movie, we rate every film in five categories, none of which are objective quality. The first category is called schlock appeal, and we start with Stan.
Well, I think this movie has all the schlock ever. Like, it just loads up the schlock. I mean, when you're talking about the fact that one of the first things is the chicken fucking we brought up. I mean, wow, they're just going whole hog for everything. I can't not give it a 10.
I'm going with them a 9. In my mind, when I think of this film, I just remember staring up at that VHX box as I stood in the video store as a kid, knowing that I wanted to see this film, but knowing it was naughty, and there was no way I could see this film at that age. I knew I wanted it, and it was just out of reach. So yeah, 9.
I want to buy this on VHS now.
Well, I got an 8 for this, because tons of schlock, but too much schlock perhaps in that length at times. So I'm getting docking it a little bit for that. So
we've got a stop motion King Kong pooping on stuff. 3 minutes into this movie.
Oh God, I forgot about that. That was so great. That was so great.
It's like 4 or 5 minutes into this movie. So I'm also a 10 for this. I think this just brings the schlock. I think it's a schlock and a half.
It just lives the schlock. Yes.
Yeah. More heart than budget in the next category.
Oh, it's so hard because they knew exactly what they wanted to make and they totally made it.
Did you see a number on the budget for this, Jack?
No, I looked, man. I'm telling you, I cannot find much on this film.
IMDb lists a budget of $1.5 million.
Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, $1.5 million. That's and there's no question. Like they put a lot of stuff into it. Absolutely. Like it's got the stop motion. It's got everything. I can't quite make a decision, so I'm going to just go with a 5.
No, I'm going higher, 7.
I'm going higher still, 9. come on, $1.5 million. Like, look at all the sets. Look at the rectum set by itself.
Actually, that's true, though. When you talk about having the poop people alone... Yeah. That looks like it would cost $500,000. Yep.
Tons of different sets, and yeah, they brought it with what they had.
All right, bring me up to an 8. I'm an 8.
We do allow alterations of scoring until we close up the mailbag.
That's right. I've been convinced.
I'm kind of wondering how many times we're going to have to say rectum set this season.
I am going for the sets, for the turd people, for the insane penis monster stop motion. 10. I can't believe what they did in 1990 with $1.5 million. Like this is when budgets are starting to really pile up.
And so much of it is thrown away. There's the cunnilingus monster. There's the snot monster, which we haven't even mentioned.
Oh, gosh.
So much. speaking of so much, I hope you don't have to work on Monday. It's time for what the fuck moments.
So they're shooting at the very beginning of the movie. There's this awesome part because they're shooting a movie with flesh in it. And now there's this, they've got to throw water and stuff like that onto flesh. But I'm wondering if the movie that they're doing, if they're trying to like recreate the first movie in that movie. But it's so great because these characters are just like, the girls are all like, it seems like they have to wait for the director to tell them before they can do stuff. So everything's just like a pause before they can actually do stuff. And I just thought that was really, really great and funny. And completely, like, I thought that was the movie. And then you get into the real movie, and it's just like, wow, this is even, but there's so much more. But, so Dr. Flexi Jerkoff, on his title, Titty Scientist, which I thought was great. In the ship. So the ship had the butt plugitzer cannon. And a tit shoot bra parachute, which I just thought was fantastic. In the Amazon point, all of the nipples. I love the fact that one of them's pierced, and that's the one that they have to get through. There's two moments that are just so far beyond for me. So at the very end, with the big fight. There's a cream pie fight that's going on there. And I'm like, what?
I love that it ends on a pie fight.
Yeah, like, why did you need a pie fight? I mean, why not?
Why didn't Son of Kong?
Yeah, I guess everything should end in a pie fight. So I love that. And there's this moment where they're killing, where Wang, who's been uncovered as the evil villain, you know, shockingly enough, and he's fighting with Flesh, and they've gone down onto a spider web, and as they go through and Flesh zips through, is that a fucking leprechaun just hiding out?
No, it was a green jewel with a gold box.
It's
because they were looking for a green jewel for the whole thing.
That's right, and it's a green jewel. That's what they say,
right?
It turned out to be a green Jew with a box.
Yeah, so that it's just fuck.
Pretty what the fuck?
So ten.
I mean, 10, I said that with a straight face, but come on, what the fuck was that?
See, this movie just brings to life every one of those points where you're just kind of like for a moment. You have that like, well, maybe this isn't what the fucky because they designed it to be what the fucky. But no, at the end you're like, no, I asked myself what the fuck was going on way too much in this movie. So yeah, it's a 10.
I have to go with a 9. I mean, we have King Kong pissing on the ship as they're trying to take off from Earth. The ship is chicken fucker powered. We have to travel through the asteroid belt.
Tell the listeners what the asteroid belt is.
It's a bunch of asses farting.
Oh god! And there's the black hole. The black hole.
Yeah,
I love this black movie.
Hole. I mean, there's the breast planet. There's the I was going to say the glory hole, but it was the G-spot.
Honey pot. Which,
I mean, that itself. I mean, the milk turning guys into babies. Did anyone get what was going on in that thing?
No.
Or was it just an excuse to show breasts?
It didn't matter. It is no. Is that that's the part where like Melissa Mounds was, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
is she famous?
Holy crap. Well, I mean, I think so. I mean,
you seem to know her name.
Well,
in some circles.
I saw it in the credits, and how unforgettable is a name, Melissa Mounds? You know, it's
as the Bazonga Bomber.
As the Bazonga Bomber. Yeah. and the names, man, like the Asian one is called Sushi. Hey, what's Flesh doing? He's eating sushi.
Oh my god, I didn't get that. That's amazing.
I looked her up, actually. She has no other credits than in this movie.
Honestly, God, if you look this movie up on IMDb, I have never seen a movie with this few photos attached to the actors.
I mean,
it has five actors out of like 70 photos.
I mean, hey, the character is Master Vader. No, I'm not Master Vader. I'm Mr. Vader. Oh,
I guess I should just score. Yeah, I had 9.
Yeah, I suppose this is where we have a philosophical difference. Because none of these are WTFs, because WTFs are those things where I'm like, why did they do that? And every single one of these I'm listening to, I'm going, well, they did it because they thought it would be funny. They did it on purpose. I mean, don't get me wrong. When they walk out of the film, like where they're filming his life story there, and they walk out and there's two little boys who walk by dressed like Shirley Temple. I am going, what? The fact that we talk about the what was her name again? Miss Bazunga Wonders or whatever. And then you talk about the other cosmic cheerleaders. The fact that they decided to cast these women and in no way look for women that were in any way attractive was to me WTF. But truthfully, I think it's all on purpose. So it's not a strong, memorable moments movie for me, not a strong WTF movie. 4.
I understand your philosophical difference. I think that there are tons of things in this movie that, of course, like the what the fucks are on purpose. You're right. But they are taken to such a degree that I think they circle all the way around to why on earth would you take this far? And the one that I'm going to land on one thing. So we've talked about the turd people. We've talked about how insane the turd people section of this movie is. There is a musical number in the middle of the turd people section where turd people sing a song. Now, everything else, making the decision to do the turd people is one thing. Giving them a song to sing is pushing it all the way past and back into what on earth are you doing? 10.
All right.
you can still counter. I mean, I've typed it.
No. I'm just. Let's put it this way. You didn't make me want to change my score.
You didn't change your score. Cool. That's fair enough. I hope that it makes up the in the next category, which we call memorable moments.
For me, it started out pretty much right away when I heard the first song, the hero always gets the girl song. I watched it probably 3 or 4 times just because I enjoyed the song so much. And then for the rest of the day that I watched it, that's all that was in my head. I'm like, the hero always gets the girl.
Now that needs to go in the show.
Good. You find it. It'll go on the show. I want people to watch the fucking movie. But there's so much here that is just so amazing and can easily stick in my head. I mean, the turd people for sure.
Did anyone else think that song sounded like it was done by Huey Lewis in the News?
I do now.
Yeah, now definitely.
There's 3 songs that are listed, and they're all fantastic. All of and it's so perfect, and it fits right in with Maurice Smith. I'm gonna give it. I'm not going all the way, but I'm gonna give it a 9.
A memorable. See, I truly loved this film. Memorable. There's just so much that I don't know if I'm going to remember.
This is
moments.
This is one of those movies that I'm convinced.
This is one of those movies they should teach in film class.
This is one of those movies that's considered one of the worst movies of all time.
I know.
And I don't know how. It's
funny. It's a funny movie.
Yes. I mean, Orgasmo is a bad film. This is not a bad film. Memorable wise, I would probably I can only give it a 7.
See, I feel like this is one of those movies where you're just gonna be like 2 years on, and something is gonna pop up into your head, and you're gonna be like, "That's from Flesh Gordon too. What the hell are you doing there?"
I'll say it this way: I think it's more likely 2 years from now we'll be talking about a movie. 5 years from now we'll be doing this show. Talk about a movie and reference back to something in this.
Yeah, that's yeah. Amazing.
So
well,
I
mean, the solve all women's problems line just. I don't think I'll forget that one.
It's got a lot of really good, like I won't forget the poop people, and just it's got a lot of just memorable stuff, like memorable stuff. That's like, wow, that's crazy. Great job, guys. Like you shot for this, you shot for the stars, and you somehow managed to, you know, get it out there. Like, and I never expected that. So yeah, I got an 8.
All right. I think I've already twice since I watched this movie made a joke about there's when the women who aren't getting any on their own planet kidnap Flesh, they're trying to arouse him, they're trying to get his attention. He's like, "I've been kidnapped and you got to let me go." And then and the young lady that I was looking up earlier just opens her top. Yeah. And he looks at her boobs and then gets a 20-inch erection underneath the towel. It is hilarious. repeating the joke 3 times in here, there's oxygen. we're going to, every time we do a sci-fi movie from now on, we're going to think of that line. I'm going to give this an 8 as well. We're into the last category we call crazy concept.
Well, it has every concept as well in this movie. Like, the fact that it's 16 years later and these guys were hanging out and getting together, like, you know what we should do? We should make a sequel to Flesh Gordon. And they'd be like, "What? What's Flesh Gordon?" And then I could just picture them trying to do it, and to do it in fucking Canada. It's like, this seems like the stupidest idea of all time, probably was. So I think it's really crazy. I'm going with an 8.
I actually prefer this film to the original, but it is a sequel and it is a spiritual sequel as well. So I can only go as high as a 6 as, crazy concept. They're just doing the same thing again, only better.
400. Are you kidding me?
All the points. Twice.
Yes! 400 is the only score out of 10 you can give this. This is the category where we have, once again, let's just run through the list. G-spot bar with men who become babies and are sucking breasts and topless to waitresses. Cave that looks like a vagina. Forest of breasts. Stop motion penis monsters.
King Kong shitting.
King Kong shitting. Thank you. I don't want to forget.
King Dong.
The concept is that the planet, all of Earth has become flaccid, and all of that planet, or all of Earth is about to become flaccid, all that planet is already flaccid because a ray that was actually designed to create erections for some reason does the opposite that I still don't understand.
It was overheating.
Oh, I'm sorry.
They explain it with the giant condom. I don't know what you're not understanding.
Oh, God. The giant condom. Oh, God.
It's a machine.
It's hard to talk about any movie. Hard to complain to someone that they did. I don't know why you didn't understand that part of Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders. It was all so clear.
All right, like, Jack, you've sold me. Up my score to a 10. I can't not. This is the greatest movie of all time. Just the period.
This is the category where it kills it. They're not WTFs, but they are crazy. They're WTFs, they're sort of memorable, but it's crazy. It has every crazy concept times 50. They're all, if you had one of these, it would be a 10. It has 40 of these. So 400.
All right. Last chance to change your score, Nick. You're still solid?
Nope. I'm solid where I am.
All right. Every season we have six secrets.
Never gave yours.
Yeah. Oh, didn't I? Oh, wow. I was just caught up in the excitement of this.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Man,
this movie is batshit insane. And I think the biggest insane thing is, as Stan said, it's a 16 years later sequel to a movie that didn't do that great to start with. And it's not like someone else trying to like make money off an IP. No, the director said, you know what I always wanted to get back to?
I'll be sitting there and I feel like his arc isn't finished yet.
I feel like I still had more Flesh stories to tell. They end up on the Amazon planet, and wait, if you said Flesh Gordon ends up on an Amazon planet and someone made a list for 10 years of what happened on that planet, they would never get to the dirt people.
Well, that's it. He wouldn't have had the turd people if he had made this 10 years after. He had 16 years to come up with this. That's why the next one, 32 years, will be even better.
Yeah.
No sophomore curse on this one, that's for sure. He was. So I'm also giving this a 10. Each season we have six secret modifiers. I'm going to do something I almost never do and ask for a second opinion. One of the secret modifiers we have this season is that the supporting cast returns, but the only person that returns is Wong, who is only in the very end of the movie. I thought no modifier, but I wanted to put it out there.
He's in the whole movie. It's just he's the mysterious presence and dressed like a Ku Klux Klan member in a black outfit the whole thing. But he's there.
Is it someone else in that outfit? I assume they only had that guy for one day, though.
No, it's not not according to the credits and the IMDb and whatever.
There's there's no second credit. That's even weirder. I want to up some of my other scores. I've already got a 48 out of 50 for this damn movie, but I still feel like there's more. If they brought back a cast member who hung around for the entire film wearing a mask.
Yeah, I mean, listen, his voice is right, and he's got the comedic timing of the other guy. Yeah, I mean, I believe it's him the whole time. I mean, I have no way to know this for sure. That's my guess.
I would score it as being him.
All right. So we're going to call that. We're going to get the supporting cast modifier then.
I think that's fair.
All right. So this gets three of the six secret modifiers. It does have a returning supporting cast. It is a continuing vision because it is the same director as the original Flesh Gordon. It does unfortunately lose a point because it is way over 95 minutes. Yes.
If you did the cut, the edited version, I wonder what the edited version would be like.
A waste of time.
Yeah. Exactly.
What would they cut?
Oh, well, yeah. It's so true because I almost want to watch it just to find out do the poop people not make it in? Because that would be a damn shame.
I would think it would be something like they might join to the cave. But they wouldn't show so graphically how realistically it looked like a woman's anatomy, you know, something like that, maybe. Like MCAA or whatever.
NC-17, they call it.
NCAA. Well, it's very college humor.
It is March Madness.
March Madness, yeah.
All right. With everything all in, that brings us to an astounding 87 out of 100, making it the second highest ranked movie in the search for the ultimate B movie, back by only half a point.
Almost
had a new winner.
Oh, man, if Nick had just felt, if you know,
I honestly tried to game that one a little bit with, are you sure, Nick? You sure? You know what? I'm not so.
One more point.
No, I'm quite happy with our current leader on this one.
But only by half, 87.5 for Ninja 3 The Domination and 87.
I did not think it was going to top the original. And because the original is way up there too.
Oh yeah.
And it managed.
Not only did it top it, yeah. but it like beat it pretty well.
Well, the original is extremely is the original is now fourth, so it's not it didn't slay it for sure.
No, but I mean, but how many points did the original have?
84.5.
Oh, okay, so it's not. Yeah, it's not. Wait,
so actually, just that last little boost of you changing your number, Stan, made all the difference there. All right, let's wrap this one up. That's quite a performance by Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders.
And it's just well, and honestly, again, it, much like when you talk about Ninja 3 The Domination, much like when you talk about the first Flesh Gordon, like all of those movies that are in the top five, the second that you mention them to me, I just have that. Oh, I'd sure like to watch that movie again.
Oh
because,
yeah,
because they're just. So, because they're just so fucking Boogaloo.
And my big question is now, have we peaked too early? Episode 2 of the season.
Oh, God.
Everything else could have seemed like a disappointment after this.
Honestly, Jack, I don't know how many times I've quoted your line that when we get to episode 500, we'll be like, and it turns out the Ultimate B movie is Ninja 3 The Domination that we did at episode 6.
But here's the positive. At least we know now that at episode 42 or 56 or whatever the hell we are, but at least we know now that we can come close.
It's good to see a movie, Ken, that we haven't gotten G-A'd yet, is what you're saying. It's gonna happen.
And the longer it waits to happen, the more like momentous it will be when it does happen.
Oh, and it's going to be so amazing because I had so much fun watching this movie, laughing my ass off, and just thinking, "What the hell are you doing?" And and I know anybody who knows me and knows that I watch these movies, they think that all the time. But this was this was one point where I was just like, "I don't know what the hell I'm doing," but fuck, I love it. So that's. That's okay.
Anyone share any of those jokes with their coworkers at lunch?
No.
I haven't yet with Cosmic Cheerleaders, but I have with Flesh Gordon. So. all right. Well,
no, I do think I'm going to step into work, though, and go, oh, goodness.
Oh, God. I know.
I love that there's two Uranus jokes in this movie.
and it's only two. That's, I think, the biggest thing.
Waiting for the third one, and it never came.
Yeah, I think we could talk about this movie forever and awesome. Ever. Yeah, but someday.
We're relaunching this as Flesh Gordon 1 minute at a time.
Yeah. We'll go through both of them. All right.
Nobody would complain about that. Anybody that would is a fool.
That's right. Okay, so next episode, we are jumping into American Psycho 2. So that should be crazy because I don't think it has much of anything to do with American Psycho 1. So, wow. I don't even know what the hell to say anymore.
I feel like I need a cigarette.
Yeah, I know. Jim, tell the folks where to find us.
Oh, God, I have no idea.
It's going to be on porno.
We are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo. You need to go to the Octagon where we have a new top five entry coming in with this film. The Octagon is our ongoing track of the search for the Ultimate B movie, and you can sort it by each individual category as well as the total, and the links to every episode are on there as well. So find a movie that you remember fondly and listen to us chat it up. So that's wetalkpodcast.com, and also We Talk Podcasts has a Twitter and a Facebook.
All right, well, I believe we are all spent sitting here after talking about the Cosmic Cheerleaders. So join us next episode for American Psycho 2. But to wrap it all up, for Jim, for Jack, and for Nick,
I am Ape Dan Stanadu. Thanks for listening to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Like science fiction parody, heavenly bodies and galactic trips beyond Uranus, then you will not want to miss the sequel of the cult classic, Flesh Gordon, in the hilarious comedy, Flesh Gordon meets the Cosmic Cheerleaders.
You play PC Junior has just detected a feline.
Flesh, let me just have a feel.
No, he promised me I'd be next.
Your penis and my brain will be a marriage made in hell.
The hero always gets the girl.
Then we'll start bombarding the earth with impotence radiation to prepare it for my coming.
There's something in the atmosphere that makes it impossible to pop a boner.
Isn't she appetizing, my little pet?
Met you in the bowl of love, where I was swirling around.
Flesh Gordon, we were expecting you.
They plan to take over the universe with an army of cold bitches, dogmen, and your penis!
You, as the possessor of the Viral Force, must make love to the Quarry.
I'll only stick it in halfway.
And I don't want you licking me if you haven't brushed your teeth.
Keep your panties on, Rabunda.
I don't wear panties, but I will if you agree to help.
I love this kind of adventure. All I have to do is pork a cute queen, and I'm a hero.